Welcome to F1Wiki.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program.
I have been racing my car in Formula One for 2 years and have yet to win my first Grand Prix. I intend to win by whatever means are open to me.
The excitement of Monaco, Spa, Zandvoort, Monza.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Faub, my co-host. Nasser Hamid will be bringing us the history of the German Grand Prix. This is podcast number 517, July 26th, 2011. Stephen?
This F1 Weekly podcast brought to you by the donation button located on the front page of the F1 Weekly website. Click on it, donate, you know you want to.
Thank you, Stephen. On today's program, Schumacher. I don't know why I spun. Hold on to your Stellas, it's just going to get better as the season goes along. And Fernando and Lewis, are they the best drivers on the grid today? And of course, we've got a fantastic history of the German Grand Prix by the king of Karachi himself, Nasser Hamid. Steve, welcome to the studio, how are you?
Wonderful, Mr. Rogers, and yourself?
Wonderful. Great weekend, German Grand Prix. It's dry, cool. Perfect for qualifying.
Calm and collected.
Very calm and collected. Of course, the news of the day is Karun Şanduk will be replacing Jarno Trulli in the German Grand Prix, which is somewhat surprising, but I figured it's all down to finances, and somebody came up with the big bucks.
Yeah, exactly. Somebody's got cash, therefore it's their seat.
Jarno, you're out. Şanduk, come on in.
Yeah, you gotta wonder how bad the driver's gotta be before money can't buy him a seat in Formula One.
I don't know, but money talks, especially when you're at this level.
Oh yeah, well, the expense of running a team in Formula One. You're looking, if you're one of the lower end teams who doesn't have a whole lot of sponsorship, you're looking for people to walk up with suitcases full of dough.
Of course, and I mean Williams has a paid driver, so.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is.
It's the way it's going to be.
So, interesting stuff. We've got cool and dry weather. And, of course, this is Karun Şanduk's first race since Silverstone of 2010. Full year.
Wow.
That's a big...
Yeah, I didn't think it had been that long. But yeah.
It's a big break to go through.
It's a long gap.
And all of a sudden get thrown into a vehicle.
Yeah, well, hopefully he's been practicing, you know,
in
a
TB2
car. So.
Yes, so there you have it. But anyway, great day for a lot of teams. We've got lots of German drivers.
And it's a home race for half the grid, it seems.
Yeah, it seems like, because half the grid is German now.
Yes.
But it's going to be a great day for qualifying, cool and dry, as I said, and we have the softs and medium compounds, Stephen.
Yes, the medium compounds are not working exceptionally well because it is so cool.
It is very cool. Well, it gets cooler on the following day. But yes, the medium compound, hard to get heat in. And a number of teams have a hard time dealing with that, including Ferrari.
Yes, exactly. And at one point or another, it's been estimated at a second and a half a lap slower on
Correct.
The mediums versus the softs.
Correct. So anyway, let's go right to Q1. Both versions come out first. And Vitantonio Luizzi, of course, everybody's trying to hold on their seats. He's out there as well for the HRTs. 10 minutes into, or halfway through, Lewis Hamilton looking outstanding. Sebastian Buemi and Jaime Alguersuari. It's interesting how in early qualifying they look really, really good. And then it just tumbles down to the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah, it's interesting in that because, you know, sometimes it's the tires, sometimes it's just... The faster cars haven't gotten on track yet.
I know, Steven, but still, I always have hope for the underdog.
Yes, exactly.
But also, a reminder, new wings, front and rear for Williams. And Sauber took a little while to get out there. They didn't come out until 9 minutes left. And they do finally come out. Michael Schumacher cutting the chicane a few times, trying to get the grips with his Mercedes. 5 minutes left. Vitaly Petrov, he's yet to come out with just 5 minutes left. I was going, okay, now what's wrong with these Renaults?
Yeah, exactly.
And then finally, here he came. Williams not looking very good.
Well, they were probably tightening up the last couple bolts on Vitaly's car because they decided that the rearward exhaust wasn't working.
Yes, the rearward exhaust wasn't working. They went back to the forward exhaust. And when he did come out, he went right up to P5 with 5 minutes left.
Yeah, a good out lap. Save himself some tires.
Well, I had just a little moment of ecstasy. With 2 minutes left in this session, Nick Heidfeld goes to the top of the heap in P1. Yeah. And I'm on the softs, and I was going, why are we wasting a set of softs to show off something here?
Yeah, exactly. When you're very safely into the next session.
Well, the worst part is Felipe Massa comes out at the end of the session, feels he has to put in another lap, and sacrifices another fresh set of softs. There were some strange decisions in Q1.
Well, I think you had a lot of people thinking, maybe playing the it's going to rain on Sunday game. And I don't know that it's a risk that's worth taking.
I don't know. I'm sure the team manager is all over this. And I, being just a podcast pundit, it's, you know, so minuscule in the world.
Exactly. So, no one wants my opinion.
No. But anyway, out in the first session, Kamui Kobayashi, which was surprising. Our new friend, Vitantonio Liuzzi, Karun Chandhuk, Timo Glock, Heikki Kovalainen, D'Ambrosio, and
Ricciardo.
Daniel, well, that some people say Ricciardo, I say Ricciardo.
Yeah, and kudos to Ricciardo because he really only qualifies behind his teammate by just the slimmest of margins.
No, he's fully capable.
Yeah, he's definitely picked up the pace. He's basically even with Liuzzi.
Liuzzi. Don't worry, dude. He'll get fired eventually.
Yes. But Antonio.
Thank you, Steven. Let's go to Q2. Sergio Perez comes out first, having qualified into Q2 while Kamui did not. 9 minutes left to go. Lewis Hamilton looking very, very strong again. He's getting to grips with this McLaren, and especially since some people are saying because we went back to Valencia rules on the blown diffuser.
McLaren's kind of putting McLaren back on the map.
Exactly. And, of course, Renault dropping the rearward exhaust. 7.5 minutes, halfway through the session. It's Lewis Hamilton, Sebastian Vettel, Fernando Alonso, Jenson Button, and Mark Webber. And these are the people that everybody's looking at. McLaren, yeah. Ferrari, and Red Bull, pretty much. Everybody, nobody else can touch these guys.
No, they're pretty much top six, more or less, as a given. The one thing I did notice is that about that point in the session, Nick Heidfeld puts in a really good lap. Or at least he did on the timesheets. He got himself up to, I think it was P5. And literally, the next six cars, he's at P11. Yes. It was just like, whoa.
I know. And that's what's scary is you think you got in a good lap, and all of a sudden it's not a good lap.
Exactly.
Especially when the big guns come out. Lewis Hamilton put in a very fast sector one time with a 29.9 halfway through the session. With 2 minutes left, Pastor Maldonado, once again out-qualifying Rubinho. Adrian Sutil out-qualifying DeRista this weekend.
For the first time, well, only the third time all season. It's like 6-3.
And Vitaly Petrov out-qualifying Nick Heidfeld. And out in this section is your friend Nick Heidfeld, Paul DeRista, Maldonado, Barrichello, Perez, Buemi, and Alguersuari. Right. So there you have it. And it's not too unusual. You know, I was hoping Kamui could make it into Q3, but he's having a hard time. And I don't think the new front wings are doing Williams any good at all.
I don't think they're really giving, they haven't given really any more pace.
So there you have it. Let's go to Q3, Steven. And let's see if, you know, we're used to the Red Bulls on the front row. We're used to Vettel taking pole. I'm thinking...
Vettel's been on pole or in P2 every race this season.
Correct. He was going for the big record.
Another one?
Well, they're out there for these young guys. But, you know, I'm hoping somebody can shake it up. And I was thinking maybe Fernando could actually pull a rabbit out of his hat.
Always a possibility. The Ferraris have been reasonably strong this week.
I know. But then all of a sudden, I got a message. Bullwinkle, that trick never works. So, 5 minutes into the session, it was Mark Webber, Sebastian Vettel, Lewis Hamilton, Fernando Alonso, Felipe Massa, Button, Petrov, Schumacher, Rosberg, and Sutil. And at 4 minutes, of course, everybody pits. And it's here we go time.
Here we go. One hot lap.
Absolutely. One hot lap. And it was exciting. It was Mark Webber, Lewis Hamilton, Sebastian Vettel, Fernando Alonso, and Felipe Massa. Top five. Mark Webber pulls one out of a hat. Does an outstanding job. That last lap, I love the comparisons that BBC do with one driver to the next driver. And both Mark Webber and Lewis Hamilton had really perfect laps.
Yeah.
Just, you know, a few subtle differences, but Mark Webber was just able to get just a couple meters ahead of him at the start-finish line to finish his lap. That was outstanding.
Yeah, the Red Bulls got, I think, just a tiny bit of advantage coming out of the corners over the McLaren, and I think that was the difference in qualifying.
Absolutely. And, of course, Sebastian Vettel not being on the front row. First time we don't have a Red Bull front row. Fascinating.
Very interesting, or, you know, at least Vettel on the front row. First time all season.
Yeah. So, this is going to be an interesting race.
Especially considering we get to the track on Sunday, that the weather's kind of, sort of, maybe going to be wet.
Maybe. But
some sprinkles here and there.
And, of course, if I've got Lewis Hamilton next to me in P2, and it might be wet, if I was Mark Webber, I'd be very much worried. Lewis Hamilton is good in the wet, and it could be the end of your pole position.
Well, if I were Mark Webber, I'd be worried about getting a good start. It's not something he's been having a lot of luck with recently. And
I agree. And we know the Ferraris have really good starts, sometimes phenomenal starts, so you never know where Fernando is going to be launching next to you. So it's going to be...
diving into the inside.
Absolutely. So let's go to the German Grand Prix. Sebastian Buemi gets penalized for fuel irregularities. Now, don't get me wrong. The fuel was irregular.
Yeah.
Buemi's fine.
Yeah, I didn't hear very many details about exactly what the irregularities were.
We got no details. It was just irregular.
Yeah, so what does that mean? Like, did they cut it with alcohol or something?
No, they probably found some fuel injection cleaner or something in there. You know, some isopropyl alcohol.
Yeah, maybe a little, maybe there's some extra caffeine in the fuel or something.
I don't know, but sure enough, they said, Stinko, you're going to the back of the grid.
So, Buemi will start from the last spot.
Exactly. And of course, we have cool weather. We've got some spots on the cameras, but the track really isn't damp. So the race...
Maybe just a hair greasy, but not anything major. Though it does turn out that there's a lot of water in the grid, in the little astroturf or grass
the wet
strips
part. Oh, yeah.
Just behind the curbing.
Right. That'll hold the water. And of course, DRS will be enabled on, I think, lap 3, and it starts at turn 10. And, well, it's enabled at turn 10, and then by turn 11, you can start.
Yeah, basically, you get to run down to the chicane.
Correct.
With your flap open.
Everybody seems to be on slicks. The rain hasn't really materialized.
No, there's not enough moisture on the track to for anybody to warrant going to. And the radar says that there's nothing expected for any period of time.
And the biggest problem is the track is 20 degrees cooler than it was for qualifying.
Which is going to make the tires yet even more difficult.
They're in the Eiffel Mountains, and it's cold. Literally cold, and it's summertime.
Yeah, it's
so this threw
it's
a
like,
big...
It's like summer in San Francisco. It's 50 degrees.
Right, it threw a big bone into everybody's strategy, and of course, the team that suffers the most in getting heat into some of these compounds is Ferrari.
Yes. Though, as we'll see, they do a pretty good job of sticking with it.
Yes, because they're machismo. They're developing. They're getting better and better and better. The problem is, your betterness must come
at more betterness than the next guy.
Well, it's got, not only that, but it's got to come sooner than later because the season will be over by the time you're the best.
Exactly.
So there you go. Anyway, let's go right to the start. The lights go out. The top 10 are on soft tires. Great, fantastic start for Lewis Hamilton, who takes the lead impressively. Fernando Alonso jumps up to P3. He holds off Vettel. DeRosa spins in turn three, and that's because he had contact with Nick Heidfeld and Jenson Button. Not sure exactly why his start was so poor, but he's down to P10.
Yeah, I don't know what it is with Jen. Jen's recently has been having a hard time holding position on the starts.
That's true. Lap two, Fernando Alonso goes wide. Sebastian Vettel gets by. Fast lap of the race, Lewis Hamilton with a 138.8. And he's now, Fernando Alonso, who gets back on track, is now right. He's caught up with Sebastian Vettel and is pursuing him intensely. Lap three, fast lap of the race, Sebastian Vettel with a 138.3. Fernando Alonso going wide again. And the team tells Felipe Massa to please pass Nico Rosberg, you little twerp. Fast lap of the race.
You're faster than Nico.
Yeah. And, you know, I love how these teams, you hear, you know, I like hearing all the radio chatter, but some of it is a bit silly.
Yeah.
Telling drivers how to drive, when to drive, how to use the brakes.
Oh, my favorite was later in the race when when Hamilton comes back on, he goes, please don't talk to me when I'm racing.
Yeah, thank you very much. That's a really good thing to say, too. And, you know, I'm sure he's going to get some t-shirts that say that. So, fast lap of the race on lap four, Mark Webber, the 138.1. Kamui Kobayashi is now up to P11. Very impressive from P17. So, and there is no rain materializing. Lap five, our top 10 are Hamilton, Webber, Vettel, Alonso, Rosberg, Massa, Sutil, Schumacher, Petrov, and Button.
Heidfeld managed to work his way back up to P18 after his spin, his little pirouette with DeRosa.
Yes, exactly, which caused DeRosa a little trauma, but everybody was fine. Fast lap of the race on lap five, Mark Webber with a 137.6, and the team is pushing Felipe Massa to please get by Nico Rosberg. You are faster than him, Felipe.
And he makes an attempt, but he can't make it stick.
Correct. Nick Heidfeld and Paul DeRosa are now under investigation for some kind of shenanigans.
For having a little car dance in turn three.
What can you do? Lap six, Nick Heidfeld passes Heikki Kovalainen for P17. Mark Webber is 1 second to Lewis Hamilton. Mark Webber is going to make Lewis Hamilton pay for passing him at the start of the race. Team tells Vitaly Petrov, brake with less pressure. No clue. But that, it could have been code, Steve. You don't really know what subliminal messages.
Maybe he's supposed to change the brake bias or something.
I don't know, but that was a very interesting phrase. Lap seven, Fernando Alonso passes Sebastian Vettel in turn one and mocks him while he's doing it. You stupid young man! Ferrari want Felipe Massa to pass Nico Rosberg. Did I mention that, Steve?
Yeah, they keep mentioning that. And Massa's pressuring.
He is pressuring, and he's, you know, he's got his, you know, Formula One for Dummies book on the seat.
Where's that section on DRS that I read last night?
It's tough, but you have to do it. Lap 8, Sergio Perez pits a little bit early, not sure what happened there. Jenson Button stuck behind Vitaly Petrov in P10 for a little while. Lap 9, fast lap of the race, Fernando Alonso, 137.6. And Nico Rosberg is now catching Sebastian Vettel, who makes a big mistake in turn 10.
Yeah, and the mentioning of the wet grass. What happens to Vettel is he gets a little bit wide. His back end catches the wet grass, and he snaps him in.
Yeah. Lap 10, Sebastian Vettel will need to put some new tires on because, well, it looked to me when he slid, all four tires got flat spotted a little bit.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure. You know, I was looking at that. I'm going, do you want to pit now or do you suffer the consequences?
Yeah, a lot of it depends on whether or not you're seeing a lot of vibration in the car. One thing I've noticed about the softs, you'll see a spot show up real quick after someone brakes hard or has a spin. And 6-8 more revolutions down the track, that spot seems to evaporate.
It just disappears.
Yeah.
That's so beautiful. Lap 10, Sebastian Buemi pits. Nick Heidfeld now big blow up, goes into the gravel, and of course, that's because Sebastian Buemi hit him.
That's because Buemi wasn't going to let him pass. That was a very spectacular bit of crash.
It was a big crash.
He basically gets over, he's coming up behind Buemi, Buemi starts to squeeze him off, and basically Buemi literally explodes Nick Heidfeld's front wing with his rear tire. It looked like it went off with a bomb, because when it goes off, Heidfeld's up in the air about 3 feet and then skips off into the gravel. Buemi's got a flat. He's got to go back to the pits.
Exactly.
Very pretty crash.
It was very nice, well choreographed.
They were showing a high-speed slow-mo shot. Heidfeld's got his hand up, shaking it at Buemi as he's sliding through the gravel.
Lap 11, Karun Chandhok pits. Felipe Massa passes Nico Rosberg in turn one, finally. And the whole
crew... And then pits for tires. No, not quite. But.
Nick Heidfeld gets penalized for the shenanigans with Paul DiResta at the beginning of the race.
So Heidfeld gets a drive-through penalty for a race he's out of.
Well, he doesn't have a car, but he's going to have to walk through the paddock. That's the
walk to his pit box.
Yes,
and
sit
stop
there.
And then walk. Continue
exactly.
On.
Lap 12, Mark Webber passes Lewis Hamilton while Lewis makes a mistake. Lewis Hamilton then passes Mark Webber back in turn one and says, "No cigarro." It was pretty. There was some pretty exciting stuff. Fernando Alonso is even just lurking.
He's just like,
come on, guys. Come on, take you guys out. Come on.
Yeah, that was a good.
It was fascinating. There was some good
really
stuff.
Really good try by Webber. But for whatever reason, he just didn't have enough oomph to make it stick.
I agree. It was fun. Lap 13, Fernando Alonso now is trying to pass Mark Webber. Mark Webber locks it up, but holds. It was very good. Lap 14, Mark Webber pits, comes out behind Sebastian Vettel. Nico Rosberg pits. Buemi still trying. No, it's Jenson Button. Excuse me. Jenson Button's been stuck behind Vitaly Petrov for now 10 laps or so.
Yeah.
And it's been fascinating. Lap 15, Michael Schumacher pits and Maldonado pits as well. Lap 16, Lewis Hamilton and Fernando Alonso both pit.
Yep.
We always get a little excitement out of this, you know?
It's always nice to see two guys high on the grid go in at the same time, because it's like, ooh.
Exactly. You can hear the hum.
Who's gonna flinch?
It's electricity in the air, Stephen. Fast lap of the race while Lewis Hamilton and Fernando Alonso pit. Is Mark Webber on with a 137.0. Lewis Hamilton and Fernando Alonso come out of the pits in the same order, right next to Mark Webber and Felipe Massa. Mark Webber is in front of Lewis Hamilton. Felipe Massa is now leading the race. Lap 17, Felipe Massa pits because he couldn't take the pressure of leading the race.
No, he said... Fernando is faster than you.
Fernando is now all over Lewis Hamilton. And I'm thinking, is the rain coming? Come on, let's have some rain. Felipe Massa comes out in front of Sebastian Vettel, which made me giggle a little bit.
Yeah.
Lap 18, fast lap of the race, Mark Webber with a 136.9. Spots of rain are beginning to show up on some of the cameras. The team tells Mark Webber, change position to T7. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
I have no clue what was going on there.
I was guessing, considering what they were talking, the terminology that was probably what was setting on his steering wheel.
Yeah, obviously. But there you have it. Felipe Massa passes Kamui Kobayashi, and Sebastian Vettel does the same thing. Lap 20, fast lap of the race, Mark Webber with a 136.5, Kamui Kobayashi pits. Mark Webber to Lewis Hamilton, 1.1 seconds, Stephen. We're getting some fun stuff here, and it's going to get really exciting. Lap 20, Vitantonio Liuzzi pits, your friend. Lap 21, Felipe Massa passes Petrov, and Sebastian Vettel follows as well.
Yep.
No issues. Fast lap of the race, Mark Webber on lap 21 with a 136.5.
Yeah, Vitaly's on his original set of tires still. I think that's
exactly
why.
He's on a two-stopper.
Well, yeah, he's one of those guys holding out for rain.
I know. Nico Rosberg tries to pass Vitaly Petrov, but no cigar. Vitaly Petrov defends pretty good when he needs to.
He pissed off a couple people after this race.
Fernando last
because
year.
He was basically defending very well.
Yes. Lap 22, Adrian Sutil pits, Ricciardo pits, Nico Rosberg, Michael Schumacher. Both get by Petrov at the same time. Timo Glock pits lap 23, fast lap of the race. Mark Webber with a 136.3. He's really putting in some good laps. Schumacher spins but rejoins in P11, and it's too bad because he made some progress and then he had that spin, and it was a bizarre spin. He lost it.
It was almost like
a big left-hander.
It was almost the identical spin at the identical place that happened to Sebastian Vettel earlier in the race.
Right.
He basically got that tire just a little bit over the line, caught the water, back end's gone, a couple pirouettes, put it in gear, go.
Exactly. Lap 24, Vitaly Petrov pits, Alguersuari pits, and DiResta pits. Lap 24, also Jenson Button pits and comes out in P8. And by lap 25, Rubens Barrichello is retired.
Retired.
He's done.
Something broke.
You know, and
oil leak.
It was an oil leak.
Oil leak, yeah.
Correct. Hydraulic leak, oil leak. But they told him to just bring it on in.
Bring it in.
Sort of a sad situation. Especially for Williams and Rubinho, who will be signed and be back next year. Lap 26, the team tells Sebastian Vettel, you may have some brake issues, rear brake issues to be specific. Mark Webber is leading the race on lap 27 with Lewis Hamilton, Fernando Alonso, Felipe Massa, Vettel, Rosberg, Sutil, Button, Schumacher, and Kobayashi. Lap 27, Heikki Kovalainen pits, and Rubens Barrichello. They called it an engine failure, but it wasn't really an engine failure. It was some kind of oil leak.
It was a leak that was basically...
Correct.
Lap stopped him before the engine could fail.
Exactly, and that's what they do now. They tell you to turn it off, stop, because of the length of time and...
Well, the fact that they may need that motor later.
Not only that, but if that motor blows, it could take out the tranny. You know, I mean, there's all sorts of things that can...
And your KERS.
And your KERS could just... Everything could be electrocuted.
Yep.
It's like one big toaster.
Just turn into a giant flash of light.
It's beautiful, man. It's beautiful. Lap 28, the top three drivers are 21 seconds ahead of the fourth driver, Felipe Massa. Lap 29, team tells Fernando Alonso, you can go ahead now and close the gap. Yeah, you know,
you can catch up now.
Yeah, go ahead.
Stop lollygagging and get up there.
Exactly, and they did use that word lollygagging, which was shocking. But when you say lollygagging with an Italian accent, it does roll off the tongue. So very impressive stuff. Jenson Button on lap 30 is right on the back of Adrian Sutil. Mark Webber pits, and the team tells Sebastian Vettel, good job on the brakes. And like I said, I don't believe anything that they say. I think it's all code. Some of this, I think they're talking about the party after the race. You know, it's probably the menu items.
Exactly.
I have no clue. But it's fascinating.
We've confirmed your reservation in Hungary, but, you know, check your brakes.
Yes. Lap 31, Karun Shanduk pits after spinning in the Michael Schumacher chicane. And that's the name of the chicane.
And he really came close to beaching himself, but he managed to get himself out.
I know, he did. But, you know, I mean, it's his first race in a year. I'm surprised he didn't have more of these.
Yeah, exactly. Considering the fact that it's his first race back, he had a really good weekend.
I think so, too. I mean, when you think about it, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
So, good, jolly good for him. Lewis Hamilton comes... Oh, this is my favorite part. On lap 31, Lewis Hamilton pits. And we saw some fast pit stops in this race.
Fantastically so.
No.
3.3, 3.2 was kind of the norm this weekend.
Lewis Hamilton comes out in front of Mark Webber. Mark Webber couldn't put in the fast lap, the lap, you know, that would keep him in the lead. And Lewis Hamilton just said, you know what? I'm there. I'm here.
And
you're there.
I'm stealing this one.
It was beautiful. And you're seeing a lot of this. Those post and pre laps before you pit are critical.
Oh, yeah. Especially now with the tires and the fact that right now, at this point in the season, the top three teams are really almost dead even as far as top end pace.
Yes. And of course, Lewis Hamilton comes right out in front of Mark Webber. Mark Webber tries to repass, but Lewis Hamilton defends well, says no way. A lap 32, the following lap, Fernando Alonso pits. He comes out just ahead of Lewis Hamilton. But Lewis Hamilton gets by Fernando Alonso for the lead. And, you know, I think Fernando just wasn't focused. I think he was still fiddling with his cell phone. I don't know what. But he could have grabbed this lead. But Lewis Hamilton went around him. because he was focused.
Yeah,
and machismo.
You know, it comes down to, I think that if you take those two exits back to back, Lewis Hamilton was the more aggressive driver in both cases.
Absolutely.
Because if Webber had been a little bit more aggressive, he could have kept Hamilton at bay, and vice versa. If Alonso had been a little more aggressive coming out of the pit, he probably could have kept Hamilton at bay.
Hamilton was on a mission.
Yeah, but Hamilton had warm tires and was willing to use them to keep Fernando in his place.
Yes. So it was very exciting. Lewis Hamilton gets by. Okay, so on the following lap, Fernando Alonso pits on lap 32. He comes out just ahead of Lewis Hamilton, but screws up. Lewis Hamilton does get by and keeps the lead, and now Mark Webber's at P3. He's thinking, what in the world have
what
I done?
What did I do?
It was absolutely beautiful. Lap 33, fast lap of the race, Lewis Hamilton with a 1:35.2. On lap 34, it's Lewis Hamilton, Alonso, Webber, Massa, Vettel, Rosberg, Button, Sutil, Schumacher, and Kamui Kobayashi. Lap 35, Mark Webber loses the back end. Jenson Button is trying to pass Nico Rosberg. Nico Rosberg goes too deep, and Jenson Button gets by easily in turn one. Fast lap of the race, Lewis Hamilton with a 1:35.0. Lap 36, Jenson Button pits, hydraulic problem.
Straight into the garage.
Yep, it's over. Like we were saying a few moments ago, this is the new way. If there's any kind of problem that comes up on telemetry, they don't try to sort it out. You're in the garage.
Well, that particular one, he was obviously losing hydraulic pressure. And it's kind of bad. And I'm wondering if he had that problem basically the entire race. And that was part of the reason he was having trouble at certain points keeping people at bay and being able to make pass.
Yeah. I think it's his teammate. That's his
battle. Rattled?
You never know. Pastor Maldonado pits, fast lap of the race, it's Lewis Hamilton with a 1:35.063. Nico Rosberg pits at the end of lap 36. 37, Nico Rosberg comes out right behind Schumacher next to Kamui Kobayashi. Kamui Kobayashi gets past. The team tells Lewis Hamilton to fully engage the clutch closest to you.
Huh? What?
Well,
apparently, how many clutches are there?
Well, they're getting them ready for a pit or something, but I'm not sure what that was all about.
Yeah, that's kind of a weird...
It was funky. One. Michael Schumacher pits on 37, 38. Nico Rosberg is now all over Kamui. And on lap 39, Nico Rosberg tries, and Kamui Kobayashi defends well and says no. Lap 40, Nico Rosberg has done it for P7. Passes Kamui Kobayashi. Sebastian Vettel pits, and he comes out in P5. Not having a great day and still can't believe that he didn't get pole position, basically.
And he's back out on softs. The weird thing that you're seeing in this race is that no one's going to the hard tires. It's really kind of...
They're waiting till the last minute.
Well, they're hoping for rain and staying on the softs. But because the hards are so much slower, nobody wants
to
put
them
on.
Yeah, well, you have to think about it this way. When you go to the other compound... And you're going to lose a second and a half a lap.
Yeah.
Brutal.
So you want to do as fewer laps as possible. And that's what's going on.
Though we see when the tires change to the hards, the hards are almost as fast as really bad softs.
Not only that, but if you wait towards the end of the race where you're much lighter on fuel, the hards, that are actually mediums... are actually not that bad.
No.
Lap 41, Michael Schumacher is all over Halmi Aigashwari and passes in T1. Felipe Massa pits from P4, comes out in front of Sebastian Vettel. Vettel is just about to throw in the towel. He can't believe Massa's in front of him again.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, it's just so beautiful. Lap 42, Sebastian Vettel locks up, goes on an escape road, and he's back on track, but no harm done. And you can see Vettel... possibly still having some trouble with the car, maybe in terms of brakes.
Yeah, I got the feeling that his car wasn't 100%, just because he was... Because some of the small problems challenges he was having.
Yeah, some of the mistakes he was making were not really Vettel-esque.
Right.
So it was interesting. Lap 43, the team tells Lewis Hamilton to stay out longer on the softs.
Conserve your tires.
And Sebastian Vettel... the team tells him, your brakes are actually okay. Keep up the good work. the team tells Fernando Alonso that Lewis Hamilton is trying to extend his stint on the softs. So everybody's listening to everybody.
Yeah.
It's like there's just almost too much chatter.
Yeah. And sometimes you start wondering, well, okay, it's fine to maybe have your strategy based on what the other guys are doing, but really you should just run your own damn race.
Yeah, but not only that, but are these drivers getting overload on information? Because now it's
well, we did see the one incident. Basically, when Weber made that good pass on Lewis Hamilton, his team was on the radio with Lewis. Lewis had had his pit talking in his ear when that was going on.
Yeah.
And he gets back, please don't do that.
Yeah, exactly. So it can be distracting, and I'm surprised we heard so much chatter as we did on in the German Grand Prix. Lap 44, Lewis Hamilton waiting till the last lap to pit, perhaps.
Possibly. There are a couple other drivers that may be looking to do it that way, too. Basically, he wants to get as far into the race as he can before he does it. And he kind of, well, it's one of those things where it's kind of like, well, do I want to do it before my adversaries do it or after, kind of thing.
Exactly. Lap 46, Michael Schumacher, while passing Vitaly Petrov, he cuts the chicane. Vitaly Petrov will have to yield the position and does. Vitaly Petrov then pits from P10. Fast lap of the race, Sebastian Vettel, by the way, on lap 47 with a 1:34.5. Lap 48, the team tells Felipe Massa that Sebastian Vettel just had the fast lap and he's 0.9 seconds away. He's coming to get you.
He's coming to get you.
Adrian Sutil pits from P6. Kamui Kobayashi pits as well. Lap 49, Sebastian Vettel is now all over Felipe Massa. And all of a sudden, Vettel's... he's found... The brakes are okay. He looks a little bit better. The problem is he's got to stay away from making those mistakes. Lap 50, Timo Glock pits from P17. Lewis Hamilton pits, comes out in P3 on lap 51. Very significant. Lap 52, Ferrari and Fernando are leading. And they look ready to pit. The team comes out, but there is no pit. Fernando continues. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Lap 53, Fernando pits. Now I'm thinking,
basically,
is this too early?
The guys had come across and said that he was slower in the second sector, talking about Hamilton.
Correct.
As though that was what they needed. They wanted that extra 0.2 or something on that extra lap.
Yeah, because...
And so they pit. But...
But Hamilton just starts knocking in some bigger laps.
Well, basically Hamilton nails his next lap and that pretty much ices the cake.
Yeah, Fernando Alonso pits. I thought it may have been too early, but nevertheless, Lewis Hamilton regains the lead and it was outstanding. Mark Webber also needs the push.
Yeah, it's almost a situation. That was one of those really tough ones because do you jump and go as soon as he does it? Because you got to figure that once he gets one or two laps in, those hard tires are going to be up to temperature, which means he should be able to get the best possible laps out of them. And, you know, maybe they'll be in the golden.
Everybody counting on the medium compound being a second slower than the soft tires, they were wrong because Lewis Hamilton comes out and he's pounding out fast laps on the medium because he's light on fuel. His car's got fantastic front end grip.
Yep. And well, he's light on fuel. He's got fresh tires. And that combination just worked definitely in his advantage.
And he's on a mission. I mean, he wants to win this race.
He was definitely focused.
And both Fernando and Mark Webber and their teams failed to realize that they had no chance. It was over.
Yeah. It would have been nice if they could have maybe gave each other a better challenge.
Yeah. So by lap 54, I could tell Mark Webber was still not fast enough. Sebastian Vettel was still trying to pass Felipe Massa. Lap 55, Mark Webber, he's much slower than Lewis Hamilton. On 56, the team tells Sebastian Vettel to be smart. Because Vettel's trying to pass Massa, and he's getting a little aggressive. And the team is telling Vettel, listen, we need points here. Don't do something stupid.
Well, stay close because ultimately they both still have to stop because neither of them have gone to the hard compound yet.
Correct. Mark Webber pits on 56. On 57, the team tells Lewis Hamilton, you are P1 and the fastest car on track. That's got to feel good.
Oh, yeah.
Lap 58, Felipe Massa and Sebastian Vettel must pit one more time. The team tells Vettel to stay out. If Massa pits, then you stay out. If he doesn't pit, then you pit. But the problem is they gave him the message just a couple of seconds too late. And they both just went by the pits. And the excitement comes on lap 59. Fast lap of the race, 134.3 by Lewis Hamilton on the medium compound. Massa and Vettel both pit at the same time on the last lap, Stephen. And of course, Massa has the bad karma that he has always had.
Well, that he seemed to have ever since Fernando showed up.
A sticky wheel nut. Took it just a millisecond longer to go on the car. And Vettel leapfrogs Sebastian Vettel. I mean, Vettel leapfrogged Massa for P4.
Yeah, just brutal.
And it's not so much the points. That was just strictly psychological warfare.
Yeah.
Manliness. It was great stuff to see. And this whole race was exciting. It was fun. Lewis Hamilton did an outstanding job for McLaren. McLaren did a great job as a team. And to be honest with you, it was just a great race. And once again, Fernando Alonso is second. He's been either number one or number two in the last four races,
which is good for trying to catch the leader.
Which shows that Ferrari has made some great strides and some improvements to where Fernando can attack more and feel more comfortable in the car. And I think the key point was for me is how well the Ferrari did in cool track temperatures.
Yeah, because that was a real major problem for them earlier in the season, where you put them on hard compound and they were just complete pigs because they just could never get any heat in the tires.
So Lewis Hamilton wins a fantastic German Grand Prix. Martin Whitmarsh is absolutely ecstatic, but I think Fernando Alonso is very happy with P2. Of course, Mark Webber and Sebastian Vettel are not going to be that thrilled with third and fourth. And for the first time this season, Red Bull has been beaten and beaten badly.
Yeah. Well, this is the second race in a row for Mark Webber to start on pole and not capitalize.
Correct.
And that's got to sting. And then Sebastian Vettel, I don't think, is as unhappy as he could be. Basically, he does...
Well, he needs to now be a Fernando kind of a dude, you know, because one thing Fernando does is he rallies the troops and gets them pumped up in Maranello and gets those engineers and starts passing out, you know, $100 bills. And he's always been like that. And Vettel needs to do that with Red Bull and his team and get this whole thing back.
Right. And Vettel also needs to be smart the rest of the way, too, in that, hey, you're better off finishing fourth than not finishing at all.
Yeah. And they're going to Hungary. Red Bull last year was a second faster than everybody else in Hungary.
So let's see if they can do that again this year.
It's going to be very exciting now. Of course, the shocker for me at the end of this race is really today, you just don't see these things happen anymore. I did a double take on my television, but apparently Fernando Alonso was told to shut the engine off because he was about to run out of fuel, and you know they need to have fuel in the car for the FIA to test.
Mm-hmm.
So he pulls over the car, shuts it off, and gets a ride back on Mark Webber's Red Bull to the paddock.
Wow, you never see that anymore.
It was like Senna and Mansell. Which, yeah, I mean, it, the way he sat on the car and everything, the whole world was going, what the hell?
Yeah.
It was,
why is he getting a ride with Webber? Massa would have been right behind him.
He doesn't want to ride with number two. He wants this number two. Because maybe this number two will be at Ferrari next year. You never know.
Or the year after.
Maybe they were talking about stuff like that on the ride back. But it was just bizarre to see that. It was just fascinating. And I thought for sure that the FIA were going to blow up. Hand out fines for everybody. And you know what? They didn't. And I was very proud of my FIA for not doing something stupid.
Right.
Because it showed, you know, the fans love seeing stuff like that. And you got to let your hair down sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought it was totally, totally cool. So I thought that was great. I really enjoyed that. So keep up the good work, Fernando. And congrats to Lewis Hamilton and McLaren. Of course, here are a few words from Michael Schumacher.
Just tell us about your race. Well, pretty exciting, I'd say. Always in some kind of action, particularly after my spin that caught me by complete surprise. But I guess I must have hit a wet patch somewhere that I wasn't expecting, and the grip seemed dramatically less. And then we had luckily a nice recovery with our car. Shame.
And you've been battling with your teammate at that point as well. You got into some quite tasty battles out there today. Was it fun to be racing?
Yeah. As I said, I mean, it was exciting and lots of action generally around, obviously, as well with Nico. But you don't want to risk too much in that moment and take home the points, particularly as constructor is important. So we'll have to catch up our points.
Thank you, Schumacher, courtesy of the BBC. And now let's go and see what's going on with some of these people. Apparently Williams is going to be putting their KERS back in the car. Now, you didn't know they didn't have KERS, did you, Steve?
So they didn't stop Rubinho to prevent the damage to the KERS.
Exactly. So, yes, apparently they've been running without KERS. They've been having some KERS issues. And they're going to put Rubens' car for the Hungarian Grand Prix with a new experimental KERS program. So, we'll see what happens there, but it's fascinating. Also, a lot of people were impressed with the German Grand Prix. I mean, a lot of people.
It was a good race, especially considering the fact that the top three were pretty much within a second and a half
exactly.
each other of the entire race.
Yes, which, I mean, there was some great stuff there.
And we don't get to see that. We haven't seen that very often in the last couple of years. Typically, the leader gets out, and he gets out, and he keeps getting out, and
John Watson came out and he started talking about this great Grand Prix, and he thinks that Lewis Hamilton and Fernando Alonso are the best drivers on the grid, period. He says, quote, two drivers yesterday I thought were outstanding. Lewis Hamilton, clearly, but also Fernando Alonso in the Ferrari. Those two drivers, in my opinion, are head and shoulders above the others. That's including Mark Webber, who's a great driver, and Sebastian Vettel. So, obviously, John Watson likes Lewis Hamilton and Fernando Alonso, and not Red Bull.
Obviously, it's not Red Bull, let's put it that way.
So, I thought that was very interesting. Also, some interesting stuff. Austin, Texas, apparently the state has kicked down $25 million or more.
Oh, good. So, we're going to have a race.
That's been approved as well. So, yeah, the race is on for Austin, Texas. Get your Bermuda shorts as soon as possible. Ferrari's come out saying that they are now going in full attack mode. Complete, honest to God, attack. And Hungary is going to be great because Fernando has a lot.
Well, they were this close to basically calling it a season and starting working on next year's car. So that's a huge statement.
I agree. So we'll see what happens. But it's going to be very, very exciting. Quickly, we're going to take a quick break. And we're going to come back with the history of the German Grand Prix.
Do you own a European or Japanese vehicle and live in the New York tri-state area? Then I want to tell you about Bell Auto Care. Bell Auto Care is a Bosch authorized repair shop with over 35 years of dedication in providing honest, friendly, and up-to-date repair and preventative maintenance to vehicles like yours and mine. Not only is this the shop in the New York area to take your European or Japanese car, they are F1 and MotoGP enthusiasts as well. So go to bellautocare.com to check out their special deals, F1 and MotoGP news, or for more information, and ring their bell to care for your car.
Welcome back to F1weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, the history of the German Grand Prix with Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. Greetings and Jägermeister regards. Deutschland über alles. Home of Auto Union, Autobahn, Mercedes-Benz, and Mahle. Michael Schumacher and Sebastian Vettel, too. Very impressive list of achievements. The nation was not included, however, in the inaugural season of Formula One in 1950, which is kind of a surprise. But then again, Ferrari was not in the first race, so these
I
things...
I think maybe the Battle of Britain had something to do with that.
Yeah, that's possible. That's possible.
Well, might have had something to do with the Cold War at the point that point in time, too, and Germany being two countries.
Yeah. The first championship German Grand Prix took place on July 29th at the Nürburgring in 1951. The race saw first win for the last Italian to win the world championship, Alberto Ascari in a Ferrari. Juan Manuel Fangio was second for Alfa Romeo.
And that was on the Nürburgring, right?
Yes, the 14.2 mile.
The Nordschleife.
Le Classique. Absolutely. Fantastic track. Fantastic. Okay, ninth in a Talbot Lago was the French driver Pierre Levé, a name now synonymous with the 1955 Le Mans tragedy. Ascari would repeat his triumph in 1952. Ferrari cars occupied the five of the top six places. The only non-Ferrari in fifth was a Gardini driven by Jean Berra, also of Viva la France. Berra was later killed at Avos in Berlin, and more on this later in the program. 1953, three in a row for Ferrari. This time the winner was Nino Farina, Formula One's first ever world champion. Harry Schell retired from the race in his Gardini, but became the first American to race in German Formula One Grand Prix. Other retirements included Hans Stuck, his son would race in Formula One in the 70s, and Belgian Johnny Claes. He would later commit suicide in an Austin hospital. He was injured in a racing accident and just could not get back to good health, so he took matters in his own hands. Sad but true. The German Grand Prix was missing from the calendar in 1955, and I think it had something to do with the Le Mans tragedy. Back on the schedule in 1956 at the same venue, the Nürburgring, Juan Manuel Fangio was the winner in his Lancia D50, entered by Scuderia Ferrari. When Lancia got out of Formula One, they gave those cars to Enzo. Enzo knows what to do with racing cars, that's for sure. Among the retirements, Spaniard Alfonso Di Portago. It was his deadly crash late in the 50s, I believe it was 57 or 58, that ended the Mille Miglia in Italia. André Pilet of Belgium was another retirement. His son Teddy raced in the 1974 Belgian Grand Prix, which took place at a track called Nivelles. Teddy also raced in Formula 5000 and Can-Am with sponsorship from your favorite beer, Stella Artois.
That's quality, Steve.
No, that's quality, Clark. Thank you very much. 1957, one of the greatest races in the history of all of motor racing. On August 4, the German Grand Prix was round 6 of 8 in the championship. Fangio led in his iconic Maserati 250F, which is one of the most beautiful cars of all time. But a slow pit stop on lap 13 of 22 allowed teammates and good friends Mike Hawthorn and Peter Collins to get ahead. Fangio was about 48 seconds behind Collins when he rejoined the race. The Argentine legend passed both the Ferrari's English drivers on the next to last lap to record his final and greatest victory. Apparently, he set new track record on 7 successive laps. It was a very impressive performance. It was also the final win for the Bellissimo Maserati 250F, and of course, Fangio's greatest victory and final victory. And of course, the 250F Maserati was designed by a very famous Italian engineer, Gioacchino Colombo. Tragedy struck the 1958 race at the ring. Peter Collins was killed after crashing his Ferrari while chasing the van wall of Tony Brooks, who went on to win the race. Bruce McLaren was fifth in a Cooper. Phil Hill was ninth in his Ferrari. Troy Ruttman, winner of the 1952 Indy 500, qualified for the race in his Maserati 250F, but did not start due to engine problemo. And you know, some years ago, I was at a IMSA GTP race. This was many years ago, late 80s, early 90s. And Troy Ruttman's daughter was there, and she showed me the ring that her dad had won at the Indy 500. Wow. And I was talking to her, and I was very surprised to find out that Troy Ruttman had a son who was killed in racing in late 1960s. I was not aware of that. So that's interesting what kind of people you meet when you move around. Okay, the German Grand Prix for 1959 was held at the fast Avos Ring in Berlin. And remnants of this track are still there, and it's very high on my agenda to go and, you know, spend some quality time there. Tony Brooks led an all-Ferrari podium. Dan Gurney was second, and another SoCal gentleman, Phil Hill, was third. there were two more Americans in the race, Harry Schell and Maston Gregory. In one of the support races, Jean Beda was killed when he crashed his Porsche on the banking. Now, interestingly, Jean Beda was driving for Ferrari in this season, and apparently after the French Grand Prix at Reims, or whatever you want to call it, he got into an argument. This is a very famous incident with Ferrari team manager Romolo Tavoni, and punched him or slapped him, so he was fired by Renzo. And I read that, and subject to confirmation, that Jean Beda was so pissed off later in the evening or the next day, he slapped and punched a journalist also. So he was kind of a short fuse. But he was driving a Porsche in one of the support races, crashed and hit a pole, you know, on the high banking side, and was killed instantly. No Orkney German Grand Prix in 1960, and due to time constraint, we will now look at some of the more important races in Germania. 1964, for the second year in a row, the race was won by ex-motorcycle champion John Surtees, while the racing world saw Honda in Formula One for the first time. Californian Ronnie Bucknum was their driver. Some years ago, his son raced in the Indy 500 with help from Honda. That was a very nice gesture on their part. I think it was some sort of an anniversary, and they wanted to, you know, help the Bucknum family. And Ronnie, I think his son also, I don't know what he was doing, but they helped him get into the Indy 500. 1967, Denny Holm led a Brabham 1-2 with Jack in second, and another Kiwi, Chris Amon, third. Guy Ligier was 8th also in a Brabham. Jacques Lafitte would later drive for the Ligier Matra in Formula 1. And Eddie Cheever also drove for Guy Ligier. I was going to try to do an interview with him when I was at Le Mans in 2009. But then I was told Guy Ligier does not speak Anglais. And I'm not even sure if he was there. So we'll see. Among the retirements was another French driver, Joe Schlesser. He was killed in a fiery accident in the 1968 French Grand Prix at Rouen. And in 1988, his nephew would make an impact in Formula One history at Monza, and the Tifosis enjoyed a hot burger. And you know what I'm talking about.
Machismo.
Exactly. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. 1968, one of the greatest performances. In a performance which can only be described as "it's incredible," Jackie Stewart was Senna in the rain that day. Driving a Matra Cosworth, he won the race by over 4 minutes over Graham Hill.
Over 4 minutes?
Yes, sir.
I mean, he could stop and have dinner.
Yes. Yes. And some English tea.
Well, now,
and share it with the second
tea,
place.
Tea, it has to steep. You know, 4 minutes might not be long enough.
Oh, really? You need more
but
time?
A hot dog, you know, it's gone.
Jackie Stewart on a hot dog? Oh, man, that's going to be awesome.
He did work for Ford.
Yes, he worked for a lot of my company, Ford, Goodyear, Bridgestone. Has done very well for himself, I must say, financially. But I got to say, man, when you read comments about Jackie Stewart, people who have worked with him, who have been associated with him, they have nothing but good thing to say
of
about
course.
It.
Of course, I didn't mean anything.
No, no, I'm not saying you did.
Negative.
And it's the same thing with Michael Schumacher. A lot of people who have never met him or have never seen him in person, you know, you and I are among that group. But a lot of people, you know, just have this very negative kind of attitude about him. But anybody that you hear who has worked with him, they have nothing but good things to say. And just today I read that Bernie Ecclestone has bought like 3,000 tickets for the Japanese Grand Prix to ship, because you know that some of the MotoGP riders don't want to go there because of the earthquake and Fukushima issues. So you know, that's goodness in everybody. That's
there
nice to know.
There's goodness in everybody.
Yeah. Except you. You're all good.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Of course. Review time is coming. You know,
well,
at the
end
of the season. Now. Yes. Exactly. Okay. We are now in 1968, and okay, we talked about that. 1970. Das Formel 1 party moved to another ring, Hockenheim. Jackie X started from pole in his Ferrari and finished second. Winner was Jochen Rindt, who was born in Germany but was raised in Austria by his grandparents after his parents were killed in an Allied air raid during the Second World War. Maybe that's why they didn't get the race in 1950.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Fifth in the race was local driver Rolf Stommelen from Cologne. He was later killed in a sports car race at Riverside in Southern California. And, you know, I tell you something, just a personal remembrance of a thing. When I was living overseas, Riverside was one of the major racing tracks of the world, and a fantastic track. A lot of history there. I always knew Dan Gurney won a lot of stock car races there. And the very second Formula One race in this country took place in Riverside. And some years ago, I was visiting Germany, and I have some friends, you know, involved in racing, you know, publication, whatever. And we met in Cologne for coffee and whatever. And we were talking, and out of nowhere, he says to me, "Oh, did you know Rolf Stommelin was from Cologne?" And that hit me pretty hard, you know, because having been a fan of Riverside and sitting in the town of a guy who got killed in Riverside, I was kind of chills. Just a personal remembrance of the man.
Thank you, Nasser.
You're welcome. And thank you for listening. Two places down in seventh place was Francois Sivet, and he was later killed in practice for the U.S. Grand Prix at Watkins Glen in 1973. Niki Lauda's fiery and near-fatal accident in 1976 put an end to the old 14.2-mile Nordschleife, as you said. And that was the story of that race, of that track. 1982, of course, then the race, you know, moved to what is happening now and also the new Nürburgring. In 1982, Hockenheim featured the now famous Piquet versus Salazar boxing bout. In qualifying, championship leader crashed heavily after his Ferrari crashed, and of course the championship leader was Didier Pironi. He collided with the Renault of Alain Prost. And you remember that guy, what was his name? Teddy Mayer of McLaren. He was very critical of Didier Pironi when it happened because it was raining and Pironi had the fastest lap. And it was obvious with the rain increasing that nobody was going to beat his time, but he still went out. And I'm sure Pironi's camp has their version of the story. But thing I read that a couple of, you know, people who were involved in this, what's his name, Alain Prost's version was that, you know, he felt something hit him. And he said, next thing you know, Pironi's car flying over his head. And you know this British journalist, Nigel Roebuck? He, just before the accident, he had parked his car in the area where the car, and he wrote that when he got out, the first thing he saw was car going straight up in the air, vertical. That was a very bad accident. He survived the accident, but later got killed in a boating accident. So that was the pole position for Didier Pironi in his Ferrari, and the race was won by his teammate, Mr. Patrick Tambay, who had replaced Gilles Villeneuve in 1982, as you know. This is very, very interesting. This was the moment when I said that this guy is damn good because I've been following his career for a couple of years in junior league. 1983, opening of the new shortened F1 circuit at the Nürburgring, where the race took place on Sunday, was celebrated with a star-studded Mercedes tin-top race. I think these were like Mercedes 190 or one of those sedan type. Alain Prost was on pole in a field which included many world champions and top drivers. Race was run in heavy rain. Winner was a young man who was still looking for a way into Formula One. And in case you need to know the name, Ayrton Senna da Silva. And more intriguing story on this is, you know, it was all Mercedes cars. So they requested Alain Prost that when you arrive at the Stuttgart airport, I think it was Stuttgart he was flying into, can you please wait another half an hour? One other driver is coming, and if you could give him a ride. And as Alain Prost's luck was, it was Ayrton Senna.
And the romance began.
Oh, yeah. And more on the story is, according to Alain Prost, Prost was on pole, and I think Senna was on front row or very close. He said his claim was that Ayrton Senna jumped the start. But Ayrton Senna, even if he had not jumped the start, it was very hard to beat him in the rain. So there you have it. And danke schön. Wiedersehen.
Thank you, Nas, for another outstanding history of the German Grand Prix. So we're going to move right into the wrap-up with 50 words from the forum.
50 words on the German GP. We'll start with Dr. Mark F. Finally, a fickle finger of fate freedom podium as Lewis, Fernando, and Mark give us 90 minutes of jousting entertainment.
From Ye, another good, exciting race without DRS needed. A Vettel-free podium was some small compensation for Jensen's visit to the DNF chapel.
Chemex writes, Felipe, the Red Bull mechanics are faster than yours. Do you understand?
from Kehesin. So what happened to RBR? Weber gets ahead on Vettel through, and that'll go down well with him. Hamilton keeps it on the road this time. Alonso gets a lift, which is surely illegal, and Alonso runs dry, which is another problem for him, so lots of work for the stewards.
Blue Pros writes, is it just me, or when the trick options DRS don't play a big part, we get a great race?
From Neon Zapper, there was nothing predictable about this Grand Prix, and that alone made it fantastico.
Iceman writes, interesting close race between Hammy, Fred, and Weber. Mach again shows pole position, but least manages to lead for the first time this year. Vettel scrapes fourth in a last lap pit stop competition with Massa. Jensen has a weekend to forget. Pity it's not the Neuschleifer.
Thank you, Steven, and thanks everybody for contributing. Last but not least, from Baumgartner, Brundle said there was a spicy sausage waiting for Jensen in the McLaren motorhome after the crash. Ricciardo at the back did a lot better after his slow practice runs. Caroon was a bit off the pace. Well, you know, Caroon Chanduk is doing what he can. Nas, any thoughts, any comments, gentlemen? I also want to hear some predictions for Hungary.
Well, first of all, a great race and a great victory. The pass on the outside of a guy coming out of pit lane, I will not take the name, was very impressive by Mr. Lewis Hamilton. I loved it. And also, talking of spicy sausage, that's something Dr. Mark will be enjoying because he's going to the, according to the forum posting, the Chicago NASCAR race. So we wish
him...
Oh,
that's right.
Yes.
That's going to be exciting for him.
So I wish him holy success, you know.
We should have on, we'll call, a complimentary pack of some wieners.
Yes. And you're not talking about the congressman, right?
Correct.
Thank you. And also, my thanks to Dr. Mark for his message. I will be responding shortly. Thank you, sir.
Steve, predictions for Hungary?
I'll save them for Wednesday's show.
That's right, I forgot. Today's the race recap. Well, I predict that the Wednesday show will be pretty good.
As it always.
Thank you for listening, and we'll see you in the middle of the week. Good night.
Bye.
Good night.